In the name of the Father, and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Good morning, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, my beloved children. What a beautiful sight that is. You see the incense directed through the light. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Eucharistic service for the 2024 Diocesan Retreat. We come together as children of God, as brothers and sisters, as the children of one holy and one apostolic and one universal, complete Catholic, denoting universal, complete Church. The past 2 days we've been discussing, we've been engaged in activities and both social and religious, and trying to really absorb what and understand and fathom what the theme is. Peace be with us. And I'm sure if we go around, everyone has some sort of an understanding what we've been discussing and what the aim of this retreat has been. And it's so beautiful. The gospel reading is so beautiful today. It's befitting for our retreat. Because we see when we read the gospels, in the ministry of Christ, in his 3 years of life on earth, he was constantly being approached and asked questions. And they constantly asked him questions. They questioned him because they wanted to somehow find a fault in him to capture him. So it was like for 3 years, Jesus just took it. He took whatever they dashed out on him. He replied to them. He never backed away from a question. Never backed away from a challenge. Replied to them in love, in peace, in harmony, and through the Holy Scriptures. And each time they would ask him a question, he would not directly reply to that question. When you read the Scriptures, you think maybe Jesus is trying to avoid the questions. He would come back and ask them and reply to them with another question. And he would catch them. But now as we approach through the Gospels, obviously we're approaching the birth of Jesus Christ. But through the Gospels, we're approaching the capture of Jesus Christ. Before he leaves the earth, he then confronts his opposers, not so much enemies. Those who opposed him continuously, he approaches them with a question and asks them, "Who do you say is Christ?" They had a perfect understanding of who Christ was or is, the Messiah. The promised Messiah who would come and deliver the Jews from the hands of the Romans and restore all their lands and their authority. They had that understanding. And for 3 years, Jesus, praise be to his name, fulfilled, not abolished. When you hear some preacher or someone get up on TikTok and rap, I remember this many years ago, rapping and, you know, Jesus came, he abolished every law. Jesus did not abolish law. He actually fulfilled all the laws. And yet they were so stubborn, they couldn't understand. They didn't stop for a minute and say and think, Nasha, owa mani le. He's fulfilling laws, his birth, his escape to Egypt. The star, the magis, the wise man who came. They were so stiff-necked and stubborn. And he healed. He raised the dead. You know what intrigues me most is this. A cripple cannot walk. For 38 years, he's been thrown by a wall and he's begging. He's crippled, Jared. He's waiting for someone to help him. For 38 years, these people would have been going past and seeing him, and then maybe just miskina, what we say, what we do. Shara miskina, just walked past. And then Jesus heals him. Yes, it was on a Sabbath. It was on a Sabbath. Jesus heals him. You know what their problem was? You know why they were ticked off? They didn't care about this man is now walking. They didn't even ask him, what's happened? How did this happen? They approach him and say, who healed you on the Sabbath? Didn't care about the well-being of this man. And then they confront Jesus again. Why are you healing on the Sabbath? Honestly, these people are really stiff-necked. And today, they are stiff-necked. By the way, Let me give you an amazing news. And this shouldn't surprise us and, you know, we start beating the drum. Yes, yes, we know this. We know this. They just found evidence in Jerusalem, in mosaics. 1,800 years ago. So 200 years, give or take, after Jesus Christ, they have found an inscription that says, God Jesus Christ. Praise his name. Praise. We don't need, you know, everyone's, Rabbi, look at this. The first person sent to me was Kirk, my son-in-law. Rabbi, you should check this out. Yeah, I said, yeah, oh, praise God. But why are you surprised? Why are you surprised? For my 20 years of priesthood, I've been jumping up and down and telling people, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. But for our critiques, for those who are against Jesus Christ, there's your evidence. 1,800 years, and now it's being proven scientifically, number one, that yes, this mosaic is 1,800 years. That doesn't prove Jesus is God. But then when the scholars come and read the inscriptions, they're saying, Mr. Netanyahu, and Mr. what's the Ayatollah's name in Iran, and Mr. Shishambu of your Buddhists, and Mr. Bhagwan of your Hindus, Jesus is God, praise be to his name. And they didn't understand that. But today, thank you, Lord, you sealed it. So, Jesus confronts them. Who do you say this Christ is now? And, you know, shooting from the hip, Harisha, let me give you this guy this answer. He's the son of David. They were right. Yes, Jesus was the son of David in humanity. He was from the tribe of David. Like we have the Mushavas. This guy, when he hears Mushava, he wants to jump and praise the God, praise the Lord, right? He was the son of David. Mart Mariam was from the lineage of David, right? They were right. But they stopped there. Then Jesus, knowing their heart, you know why? Because he is God. Jesus is God. Knowing their hearts, knowing their motives, just like right now Jesus knows my motive. You don't know what's going in my mind. I don't know what's going through your mind. He is God. He examines the mind and the heart. He said, okay, well, let me ask you a question then. If Jesus is the son of David, or if the Messiah is the son of David, so why is David, the son of the Messiah, calling him Lord? Now, let me ask you a question. Guys, raise your hand if ever your dad called you my Lord. Actually, you requested my Lord. We may refer to our fathers as Lord. Let me tell you something, my beloved sisters. And I pray that this is the type of relationship in a marriage, that we go back to our understanding, our forefathers' understanding. You know, the wife would call her husband Lord. Lord. Yeah. Yeah, she would call her Lord, just like Sarah would call Abraham Lord. Lord, not meaning I'm your material, you do whatever you want with me. No. That's the Middle Eastern understanding. Lord meaning you are my head. You are my Lord. I've been betrothed to you now. Just like Jesus is the Lord of the church, I am the church. I'm going to produce children. And you are my Lord, just like Jesus is Lord. So I am 100% sure a father never refers to his son as Lord. So now he's saying, well, if David is the son of the Messiah, why is David, and he quotes scripture again, why is David calling his son Lord? From that point onwards, I love this scripture. From that point onwards, no one dared to answer. And from that point, no one dared to ask him any more questions. He slammed them. He hammered them. He put them in their place with one simple question. One simple question. See, this is the peace that we have from our Lord Jesus Christ, beloved. He is God. Your Lord, your Jesus, your Jesus that we were singing, we will follow Jesus. And we're going to sing it again. And I think everyone should sing it when we're at communion. We will follow. Why? Why do we follow Jesus? Have you heard the term, you know, they come up to you, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? When people ask you, do you know Jesus? Say, no, I don't. I don't know Jesus. What? And you call yourself a Christian? You don't know Jesus? No. Do you know Jesus? Of course I do. Who is Jesus?
He's the Son of God.
Do you actually understand that? Do you understand the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Do you understand the Spirit? You know, this is why there's an issue with infant baptism, right? Because they don't understand. Who understands? Who? I don't understand. I don't. But there's one thing I know. I have accepted him as my Lord and my Savior, and I want to experience his life. That's all. I don't need to know. I won't know. I can't know. I cannot fathom. Because he is greater than my thoughts and my understanding. I know he is gracious. I know he loves the world. He loves the world. You go and drive by any red light streets, 9th Street in Modesto, right? Those that are selling their bodies, those that are now shooting up and most probably ODing, those that are right at this moment stealing, murdering, those that are right at this moment committing abortion, whatever it is, whatever it is, Jesus loves every one of them. He hates what they're doing to themselves. And knowing what we have, not fathoming and understanding in its fullness, no one can. One of the church fathers, Marapun Rabba, writes, the more you try to draw near to God, in understanding, not I want to draw near to God because I want to let go of my sins and my transgressions. I want to have a relationship with God. No, no, no. The more you want to go in and say, I want to know, I want to know, I want to know, the further you will be driven away. Because we cannot know. But there's one thing we know, beloved. That cross that he was hanging on, that's the peace that he brought for you and I. The peace of mind is this, that Jesus is the, with a definite article, the Son of God. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is God. Praise his name. And that peace that he brought, and you know what? Let me tell you. Let me confess. Confession time. When we were driving here, I was not scared. I was concerned because I thought, I don't think we prepared enough for this. For this retreat, like we did with others, right? Because we're such a rusty. And I was thinking, well, I hope they, you know, everyone gets along. But the past 2 days, I glorify God first and foremost, and I thank you. I thank you. And God bless you. I was looking in your faces when we were up there by the cross, everyone was just joyous and happy. There was peace in our heart, right? I had so much peace, I was trying to prank people with insects. Well, then, thanks. I was so joyous and seeing everyone just mingle together. And your promptness, I should say, being at the services, God bless you. This just goes to show, this just proves two things. Number one, Allah Qublale, whatever you've been praying for, whatever you've had in your minds, rest assured, God has heard it. Wait for his perfect timing. And secondly, that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ is truly dwelling in your hearts. So what do you do from here? Go back to your parishes. Go back to your parishes in a way where people say, what's wrong with you? You've changed, Hacha. When people say you've changed, glorify God. Have a change for good, huh? When people say, you look more beautiful, you're glowing, what's wrong? You've changed? You say, well, thank the Lord, because I have Christ's peace in my heart. And may that peace be with you wherever you go, as you go back to your parishes. You're going to start, I'm going to rain on your parades. You're going to go back to school. You're going to go back to work. Take that peace with you. Reflect it. Manifest it, as Rabbi Asha John said. Reflect it upon others so that they will say, what is this peace? Then you pull up that YouTube and say, just look at this discovery. That this is the peace of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God. Praise be to his name, now and at all times and forever. Amen. Amen.